This is exactly right.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and here's a podcast pitch. I'm going to cold call every Mormon I went to high school with and ask why they unfriended me on Facebook.
I would listen. I'm Brandi Posey, and some part of me believes that all those rugs from the rug cleaning videos had bodies in them before they were cleaned. It's the only explanation for why they're so dirty.
They're so gross.
I'm Tess Barker, and welcome to Snot Girl Spring!
Woo! And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Those rug cleaning videos, I have to say, every time I see them, all I can think is, wow, when we don't have water anymore, these are going to look really tacky.
Oh, God. That's so true.
Because it's just an insane amount of water to clean a thing that should not have been cleaned.
That you should just throw away.
Yeah.
In a landfill somewhere.
Yeah, going back to the earth, because the earth has already reclaimed part of it.
It's
it seems.
Exactly. Yeah. The earth is just give up on it. What are we doing? I understand the satisfaction part of it, but it's such an insane amount of water to use. I'm like,
you know what? I'm always like, where did this come from?
I know.
How I think people feel when they're watching rug videos is how I feel when I'm cleaning a bong.
Oh,
like that is so
it's very satisfying
to get a bong.
But isn't the smell the bong water smell?
No, because I use rubbing alcohol. So here's a little tip. Here's how you clean a bong. You do rubbing alcohol and Epsom salt, and that combination like debrides all the resin and shit. And so you like you fill it up with the rubbing alcohol and the Epsom salt, and you plug the hole with your thumb and you like and you shake it, and it just gets like all the crap off. Like it's exactly
that's satisfying.
Like,
I mean, people would tune in for that test.
Maybe
if you were...
should I become? But you know what? I tried to make a TikTok where there was like one shot where I was hitting a bong a couple years ago, and it got pulled down immediately. So,
maybe you couldn't clean one.
Yeah,
you got to call it like a blong or like a long a or a zong or something. I'm zong cleaning.
Yeah.
Tess Barker.
Yeah.
I want to shout out. I'm doing another show at the Comedy Store with Ashley Ray coming up on Wednesday, May 1st. So if you're in LA, come check us out. 8 p.m. show in the Belly Room. It's called Flex. We have comics do like a little bit of a longer set than usual. So buy tickets to that if you're in town.
Hell yeah. And this Friday, the 26th of April, Picture This is in Los Angeles at the Virgil. Please come out to that. Picture This show.com for all of your tickets and lineups and whatnot. And also on Friday, Kristen Leidy, who was our guest last week's album, is out. And if you don't follow Burn This Records at this point, what are you doing?
Oh my
come
God.
On.
Get your
a follow
shit
is free.
Together.
I would appreciate it. Come on.
Follows are free, babe.
Follows are free. Mm-hmm. Why don't you follow us all? You know, I got some shows coming up in LA. I'll be posting those on Insta. I tweet sometimes too. Follow us on social if you're not already.
I don't tweet please. Anymore. Yeah. I miss it, but I just can't do it.
I got
when you go on there and all of your notifications are just crypto shit.
I know. It sucks.
Yeah. I posted like a really nice like tweet about like some good news the other day, and I just got a response of a picture of a guy's dick.
Yeah. it is the Wild West.
It really is. Like
really insane.
Yeah.
No, Tess sent me a link to it, or I think you sent the article that's like there, like somebody went down the rabbit hole of those pussy and bio tweets that have taken over Twitter, because most of the responses are not a dick but a pussy and bio link, and it's fascinating. You know, I can't, where did it end up? I can't remember. He actually like went down the rabbit hole all the way to like find the source of the pussy and bio.
That's,
you know,
our world now. Yeah.
Late stage capitalism. It's one. It's beautiful.
Here's the thing.
Yeah,
you're here. No pussy and bio here.
Yeah. No pussy in your ears currently. So.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, that's good. Enjoy the spiral.
Also, yeah, it's just gotten bad. I mean, whatever. I see people on Twitter and on Threads posting things like, "Do you guys wash your pussy?" And it's like, what are we doing? Go back to work.
Well, you know that's what it is now, right? It's just like negative engagement. It's just literally just trolling to get engagement at this point, I think, is like the main
it
thing.
It is.
Which is just, it hurts my brain and I don't like it.
Because it's like, to what end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
You know what? We're creating pure content. We're not trolling you. We're entertaining you, I hope, at least.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to troll you.
No.
Yeah, we're entertaining from the heart.
We're not nagging.
No.
No.
No
eggs.
Let's introduce our guest.
Yes.
Very, very funny comic. We had a great time hanging out with her. She was just on After Midnight, so you can watch that episode. And you can catch her new special called Murder Sheets out now. Enjoy our hang with Liz Mealy.
Nailed it.
<It's> not.
No, you nailed it. You nailed
Don't
it.
Be a shame. I feel like we always set our guests up.
I have
insecure.
To go. I'm already embarrassed.
No. It was great. I like the energy you brought into it.
You guys, I need to like right off the bat talk. I'm fresh out of some Pilates humiliation.
Okay. Oh, shit.
Okay. I got this new Pilates outfit for my birthday that I love. You guys can see the color. This light lavender color is the same on top and on bottom. Okay.
Great. Monochrome. It.
Thank you. Monochrome, but light. Mm-hmm. The bottoms are like kind of booty shorts that I love because they make my ass look like really juicy. So imagine like a big, juicy lavender ass. Like it's like kind of conspicuous, yes. Right?
Yeah. Everybody wants that. So,
I mean, it's a natural, you know, I walk in, I'm feeling myself halfway through the class. I look in the mirror and I have just the most obvious gnarly pussy sweat. Like it is a perfect V, like right where my underline is. And because these shorts are so light, it's just like a street sign, like every single time. And of course, like there's never men in class, but this time there's a man and he's right next to me. And we're doing like multiple things where I'm like facing him. Yeah. So
damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, pussy sweat's real, you know? I think this is why I don't, like, I never buy, like, cute workout clothing. I just wear, you know, because, like, I think I know. I just wear black leggings.
Well, there was, like, every outfit has to pass, like, a squat test. Like, there's anything that doesn't say, like, squat approved when you go to buy, I won't buy it. Like, already I'm like, that's suspect. And then I read all the comments to be like, I squatted and everybody saw everything. But I think the next iteration of that is sweat. Like that's never talked about because like, think about like, I go to Target and I'm like, those are cute. It's $7. Let's do this. And then it's the same kind of thing. It's just like sweat marks everywhere and you just feel so embarrassed. And it's just like, there needs to be like four things that they say every time you go to buy an outfit.
Yes,
like scrunching
squat.
Up.
Yeah. Scrunching up, titty falling out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sweat, because different textiles highlight sweat in different ways.
Yes, exactly. Is this structurally sound? Does it breathe properly?
Yeah.
We have questions. I mean, I think what needs to happen is you need to get to Pilates. If you want to keep wearing these shorts, you just got to spray yourself down. You got to change.
Deodorant on the pussy?
No, I was going to say just water. I think just dunk yourself.
Come in wet.
Come in dripping wet.
Like you ran there. Like you're a super athlete.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just come in and be like, you don't even know what's happened already. Become the wet mystery of the class.
Just my way on the reformer for the whole hour.
Yeah, and then you can never dry because who knows how it's going to dry. Yes. Yeah.
We can't.
Right. No. You got to
have a spritz. Have a spritz ready to go at all times. It would be really crazy to see somebody in class just be like, oh, hold on, excuse me. And then just douse your pussy area before class begins.
Everything below the waist is doused.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, man. I thought you were going to have like a riding up situation because like.
You talked about your butt for a while. So.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like everybody saw it, but nobody.
Yeah,
everybody's
real misdirect, Tess.
Speaking of that, though, I was in yoga a couple weeks ago, and there was a woman. Mm-hmm. You guys, her butt, her whole butt was out the whole class.
Like, was it a design flaw?
It was a design flaw. Let's say these pants did not pass the squat test.
They fallen down? Were they coming? Was it like a coming down?
Yeah, they fell down, and you could literally just see through the pants.
They fell down. I mean, we were looking at open air crack.
No,
isn't it wild how that happens? Like, you fully just don't know that your crack's exposed.
Yeah, I feel like I know.
How do you not feel the breeze?
I think so, too. Yeah. How do you not feel it back there?
Maybe she did. Maybe this is like a kink situation. Okay. Like, I just want to show my asshole to my yoga class.
Or she just like, this is her yoga thing. Or she's like, this is all part of my, returning sun. Or
my root chakra.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Liz, who's seen your asshole lately? How are you doing?
Oh, what a great
lead-in.
Good
question.
We've all gained and lost weight, so pants don't always fit as properly as I'd hope. Yeah. My boyfriend is around, he's witnessed. So it's some approval, some unapproved viewings, but that's life. We make bad purchases. I think we've all made bad purchases out there.
This is the truth.
The worst is when you have a pair of pants that you think are like going to be good coverage and then like, oh no, it's too thin. Everyone's just seeing a secret thin pant is my least favorite thing.
Yeah. I had that happen to me the other day. I was I had to film something of me at work and I just was like, my outfit wasn't great, whatever. I was just like throwing something together, some like leggings with like a longer top. Mm-hmm. And then I like saw in the video of the leggings, I was like, oh, my full underwear outline, mm-hmm. full. Like, no mistaking.
It's
How have we... Come on, it's 2024. Why? Why are we still seeing anything?
Yeah,
I think what's upsetting is I think we all do the same thing is that you fit... That happens, and then you put it right back in the drawer, and it happens again, like, 3 weeks later.
Of course.
Like,
I'm not getting rid of it.
I'm going to get rid of it.
Yeah, no, I'm just... I'm going to accessorize differently, but I never do, and I make that mistake over and over.
You're welcome, garbage patch. I'm still wearing the pants that have betrayed me over and over again.
Or it's a case of like you've worn something for too long and you love it so much that you don't, it's like the Velveteen Rabbit, like it's still real to you.
You don't understand.
You don't understand.
This time has
passed. Yeah, it's gotten nubby and...
that's everything I own. Everything I own is nubby. I got a nubby closet. It's okay.
May it become real someday and hop away. I'm not going to throw it away.
Liz, tell us about your new special Murder Sheets.
Oh, thank you. It's out there. It's so funny because it's been out there for a week now. And you, as three women, you understand that it's anywhere from this is great to you should die in a fire. And it's
super fun.
Can I pick what type of fire? I have so many questions. But I have to say, it's been, I have, I'm a storyteller, even though doing a terrible job. I'm a storyteller, and I end on an 11-minute story about my best friend and my cat. And it's the first time I've ever had a visual aspect to my special. And that's been probably the most rewarding, where people are like, didn't see that coming. That's so awesome. And I don't know. I've been doing this long enough that I don't know how the audience takes me in anymore. And after you edit something like this 18 times, I don't feel anything towards my special. So it's people telling me that they're surprised or they enjoyed it. That's I'm writing off that high because I hate it now.
Right. Yes, of course. Yes. I mean, the point of an artist is to create something that you a one time loved and then criticize it. Until you hate it. But then have other people tell you they love you.
Yes.
And they love your work. Yeah,
and, I'd be like, oh, I think I remember this feeling, but, if you could give me details. But it's been, I don't know if you guys experienced this. I started out monotone. I was a pretty monotone comic. And a lot of it has to do with, I'm dyslexic and my thoughts work faster than my mouth. That I was, if you stumble, people don't get it and it doesn't work. And it still stresses me out now. But as I've become who I am off stage, I rant, I get really fast, I make squeaky sounds, I'm just ridiculous, and I've become that person on stage, and this is probably the first hour where I get really, really fast, and it was the most stressed I've ever been, where I've played with tempo in three different stories, and if I don't nail it at a show, it's that wasn't my best or whatever. But I had two shots to tape it, and I was just stressed the whole time. And it turned out great, and I nailed it on the first one, which made me relax a little bit for the second one. But I have to say, this is probably my hardest performance. I never considered myself a performer until this special, where I'm I did a lot of work. I did stuff.
Where you're working stuff out in your apartment and stuff, and going through the physicality of shit.
Yeah, but even I don't really watch myself. I don't like watching myself, but I know I'm doing stuff with my faces. I'm Italian. My hands are always all over the place. I know I'm doing stuff, but this is the first time that when I would watch myself, I'm oh, that should be that. Or, if you do that, that's going to make it land harder. Or, you went up high last week and that really sold it. So let's try to hit it up high. It was the most of the... not just the words themselves, which is what I love.
Right.
It was more of the how I delivered it, both physically and octavely.
Yeah, the musicality of it.
Yeah. Totally.
So I think that's scary in general, because we all know when you try and you bomb, doesn't feel good. Don't feel great.
Yeah. A high energy bomb is always difficult, because you're just ha, 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 nothing.
Yeah.
All right.
And when I was
gotcha.
When I was monotone, when I was in my 20s, it was just I was well, I didn't even want to be here anyway. it was just
right. You can be cool guy. Yeah.
You can just do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do there is a teenager aspect of the bombs are more embarrassing these days. I'll be honest. You just kind of look a little bit more wackadoo, where you're
Totally.
But again, on the other side of it, the compliments and people taking it in is oh wow, this is a side of her I've never seen before. So I feel I don't know. I feel I grew in a way I didn't expect with this special, and I am proud of it. And that took years of therapy to say.
Yes.
Wow, we're honored to be a recipient
of your therapy work.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do we want us? We can send this episode to your therapist they know.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes. She will charge. She'll charge. But yeah.
I think it's interesting.
We'll have to sign up for her Patreon.
Do you feel you became a more talkative person offstage, and that sort of informed your onstage persona, or is that sort of always who you were offstage?
I was always talkative off stage. People would always ask, have you always been funny? I was no, I've always been annoying. That's been clear.
It's taken the gateway to funny.
Yeah,
the gateway
it's to taken funny. A while to cultivate it so people wanted to hear what I had to say. My mom's a ranter. That's where I think my mom's really funny. What I've learned is I have a lot of older male fans and genuinely love what I do. But I am my father. I am a 70-year-old man, and I am angry about it and I need everybody to know about it. So like that, that my essence inside is my dad, but the way I deliver it is my mom. Like if I ask my mom a simple question, it's like, it's just like, this is everything that went wrong and everybody will pay for it. And it has become like, I realize that I am a very much unique combination of my parents, but I am also embarrassed to be who I am. Like I'm embarrassed that like I have a new joke right now in my hour about taking 2 weeks to get $30 back from American Airlines. It's the most old man joke you can have. I'm so proud of this joke because it's all about like,
I respect.
Thank you so much. But the whole premise is I've read 3 books on negotiation and I will get my money back. Like you have fucked over the wrong person. And it's such an old man joke. And that is my dad. But the way I deliver it is kind of embarrassing. Like my mom will like, my mom scared people. My mom scared us as a kid. My mom can be really scary. And so I can see it also in the comments and people being like, ooh, no wonder you're single. And this is, you know, I have a boyfriend now, but in that special, I was single. But it's like a little bit like, yeah, that's how I felt. Like I was embarrassed and I thought people wouldn't love this kind of, and which is crazy because I have so many close friends that love Angry Liz and Crazy Liz. And I've been in therapy enough to be able to control it in the sense that like I used to, embarrassingly enough, unleash this part of me because I didn't know how to control it. And I would get angry and it would be other people's problems. And now as I've gotten older, it's like, it really is like a little kid that you say, like, why don't you talk to 10? Why don't you get your blankie? Like, I have like skills and tools that when I reach that like level 10 anger, I go, hey, I need a second. Like, even like with my, my siblings, I'm with my siblings right now in LA. Like, it's like, I'm on the wrong coast. I just need a second. As opposed to before, like, you know, I'm in everybody's phone as Lizabitch and it's not unwarranted, you know? And so I think there's a part of me that like my behavior before I was really embarrassed and I didn't know, and I would hide from it. And now I can show it on stage and know that nobody's witnessed it except for myself. And now it's the funny version of it. And it used to be like, I did like my jokes before is like, I did this and I would be able to laugh at myself. And now it's like, I didn't do this, but this is what I wanted to do. And it's like, because I'm rarely a person I'm embarrassed by, like, I don't think those thoughts will ever go away, but I'm doing a shitty job explaining them, but I'm just able to like hold them and utilize them without inflicting them.
Yeah. Mm. With being able to control them. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely like, can be really intense on stage and like I forget that people don't know how to read that sometimes, you know? And so like, and I can cross, if somebody's like annoying me, I can cross over into bad intense where I'm like, shut the fuck up. And like, sometimes that works and sometimes it does not, you know? And it's like, oh yeah, people like kind of get a little like scared when you get too intense.
And well, especially, let's be honest, as women. I mean, an intense woman is off-putting for a lot of people. And, like, we forget that because if you are an intense woman, you're like, well, yeah, that's my point of view. I mean, everyone should be. Yeah. But, and yeah.
No, and I like to think that I'm a polite person. Like, my friend Maria nailed it perfectly. I'm like, oh, no, thank you. Oh, thank you, but no, thank you. Get the fuck out of my way. I'll kill your family. Like, I just...
like I gave you two. From one I gave you two.
And it just goes up so fast. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, I've gotten slightly better, but if I'm tired, you know, I'm always touring. I'm always tired. And if, I'm just, like, not... Like, I've been really overwhelmed and I've had so much to do that I can see that I'm kind of secluding myself a little bit because I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I'm able to control this the way I'd like to. But I do believe my stage persona is, like, best, worst Liz. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I've taken the worst part of me, made it funny, and it's like controlled power because it's like you're not being yelled at. I mean, you are because I'm yelling at you, but you didn't do anything.
Yeah. You're not they're not internalizing it. They're like, ooh, this isn't about me. All right. Yeah.
I want my $30 back.
I mean, I fully believe that. I mean, last year, like, oh God, when did Lampy get married? A few years ago, I had like an airline fuckery that like I ended up, it was like through like a weird like tertiary like market,
like
airline
third party thing
that I ended up yelling at a man that I'm pretty sure was like in Ukraine, because I could like hear I could hear a television behind it I was like, if your fucking TV's on and you're doing customer service, gloves off. Gloves off. That's just how I feel fully. If I hear somebody asking you what for lunch, we're out.
I don't remember what I don't know what like customer service thing I was on a phone call for, and it wasn't something contentious, so I wasn't like angry. But their chicken just started like making noise in the background.
Oh my god.
And I just started laughing, and I was like, is there a chicken there? and he started laughing too. That was a fun one.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a fun.
They should all have chickens. That's just silly.
Yeah, that's a great pet.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, no, I know. I feel bad too, because like it is, I am like that with customer service people, where like I start out polite, and then it's like, god damn, you made me be a cunt. Like you, George.
Acknowledge the wrong that's been committed.
Why couldn't we just do this the easy way? Like, I will be a cunt until I get what I want.
You're like, now we're both crying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and what sucks too is the way things are now is that it's like they probably have very little, so little control over like anything, you know.
Of course.
But well, that's what's so fucked up is the companies have made it so separated that it's like if you can even talk to a human being, the chances that they can talk to another human being are like slim to none. It's so fucked up.
And I haven't said this to a customer service person yet, but I always want to say, like, as I am trying my best to be so reasonable with you, and I'm sorry if I lose my temper, but you should hear what I say to the robot before I get to you.
That's good.
I am so mean to that fucking robot. I mean, and to every robot in my life, I'm so dismissive.
Representative.
Yeah. When an AI is chatting me and I'm just like, fuck you, give me a person. Like, I'm so mean. I'm so mean to the robot.
I don't know if I'm like the last to know this, but I didn't realize this until maybe like a year ago, that when they put you on hold, they can hear what you say.
Wait, I did really?
Yes. So when they're like, hey, give me 3 minutes. I just need to, you know, talk to my supervisor. They can hear what you say. Cause you know, sometimes I'm on hold and you know, at the time my roommate was like, you know, what's going on? I was like, fucking Spectrum. Like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Like, you know, now like with phones, you can kind of put it on mute and then I'll be like, fucking Spectrum. But like, I didn't know that.
I didn't know either.
Yeah.
Why? So who knows?
This
they
is
do that?
Good information for the listeners.
Yeah, and who knows? Because a lot of times if they're talking to their supervisor, it's via chat. Like it wouldn't be. So they can still hear you. So like we're thinking we're on hold because they're going to go talk to somebody else. But everything is probably like via chat.
Yeah, they probably have the best like tape of
people being the
craziest moments for people.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my heart goes out to those people. I think those
for sure.
You know, you need work if you're working there.
Yeah,
that's some tough shit.
Yeah.
No, it's
we've all tried the call center jobs.
Yeah, no, for sure. I appreciate you not becoming a tow truck driver or a parking a meter maid or whatever.
Yeah,
like those are the jobs that are truly fucking me in my day to day life. Like, yeah.
Meter maid is unforgivable. I have no sympathy. Ooh. None. Liz, I know you live in New York, so you don't know exactly that.
Oh, I have a car, believe me.
Okay, then you really know.
Yeah. I've had all the tickets. I got more tickets during the pandemic, parking tickets during the pandemic than I did in I think I've had a car in New York for over 10 years, and I was like, I'm suffering. I was like, this is bullshit.
One of my favorite, like the What is New York Instagram page, like one of my favorite things they do is post carousels of like all the people with like their notes about like, please don't tow me, like,
yes,
I just had a baby, please don't give me a ticket, and they all have a ticket on there.
They're so
they don't
mean.
Give a fuck.
They're ruthless.
Do not give a fuck. I had it, my car died and I couldn't move it for street cleaning, and I'm just literally like, I remember going to the cop being like, look, nothing's happened, like I'm doing I called a guy, like it was one of those things, and he just kind of stared at me, shook his head and walked away, like I didn't do it, like I have a shitty,
like you want your car today.
He didn't give me a ticket, thank god, but I really was like,
oh, good.
Cool dude, you seem fun, like not like, hey, can I help you, he was just
Yeah.
No.
Don't worry. I feel safe. I feel safer. I feel safer with this interaction.
And then I'm always like, my fucking tax dollars are paying your paycheck for you to gouge anymore. Go fuck yourself. Oh, I hate them. I hate them.
Oh, yeah. My old car had a footprint in it from me angrily just kicking a dent into it when a guy was giving me a ticket.
You're like, we're all suffering. Like, my car's suffering. I'm suffering.
Yeah. Well, it was fun because that dent was great because I'd like, you know, when you go to a gas station, the guy that's like, I'll come fix your dent. And I would just
calmly
put my foot into it and say, it's not going anywhere. Yeah. And you'd be like, oh.
This is a scar.
I did it myself. This is a reminder of my own rage.
You're just cutting in front of them. You're like, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Witness me.
Okay, Liz. Well, we're going to play, a little game with you.
A little game.
This is This or That.
This or that.
You know, you get it. You pick one or the other thing.
I can do it. I'll still struggle somehow, but I can do it.
Okay. So you said you're Italian. Pizza or pasta?
You're not going to like this answer. I'm allergic to yeast. So both kind of hurt my tum-tum.
Fuck you.
It's pasta.
Canceled.
It's pasta because that one doesn't have yeast, but somehow still hurts my tum tum.
I'm sorry.
These are going to get sadder and sadder. By the way,
that was the goal.
Yeah, we're ready.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Hotel or Airbnb?
Hotel. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know that. I feel like that's wrong, but
mm-mm. I'm at hotel now.
I'm hotel too.
I think Airbnb's lost its way.
I think a lot of people have turned. It depends on the location. There's certain places that I think an Airbnb is the move, but like a hotel, you can mostly rely on, or you know how it will wrong you. An Airbnb, there'll just be something something new that you're like, oh, I wasn't aware there could be a secret door here.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so standardized and it's become comforting. It's just, you know, it's 20 years of being in hotels that like, I don't know. Yeah. I know what I like. Like, this is where I've become an old man. I'm like, I like what I like. Mm-hmm. I like my pillows like this, you know.
But yeah, what's your like, what do you need in a hotel room?
So I pee a lot. You're welcome, everybody.
Uh-huh. Well, hydrated queen.
Hydrated. So,
hydrated queen.
So I always like, especially like if I'm like in like a double bed, like sharing a hotel with like a friend or like my sister was with me when I was in San Diego. I'm like, can I be at the bed that's closest to the bathroom? Like that's my big number one thing. I've never turned on a TV. Never turned on a TV. Everything I want is on my laptop and I'm not tech savvy enough to do like hookups, nor am I like bro-y enough to be like, I got the link and it's going to be big screen. I don't care. I'll watch something on my phone for hours.
But you don't want hotel
TV.
I love hotel TV.
But wait, you watch stuff on your phone for hours?
That's because I'll be
a little unhinged. I'm going to be honest.
No, it is. It starts out like it's bedtime, Liz, right? Like you have an early flight, go to bed. But then it's like, well, I'm not actually tired. So then I try to watch something and then I get enthralled. And then it's like 2 hours later and I'm like, oh, I messed up. So it's like I'm supposed to be laying down watching like a 10-minute YouTube video and then it turns into hours and then my neck hurts. It's not right what I do.
It's not intentional. It's a snowball situation.
Yeah, no, it's immaturity mostly.
But I love how we always trick ourselves too. We're like this time I'm only going to watch a few minutes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say I do love, sometimes Sean gets mad because like we have way too many remotes in our house. You know, and like sometimes I just can't figure out. I'd rather just watch on my laptop, and he gets annoyed because he's like, "Why are you watching TV?" But like honestly, there's something kind of like cozy to me about watching shit on your laptop. Like you can kind of snuggle up with your screen and like,
yeah,
it's your own little, it's your personal pan pizza.
Yes, it's pan pizza viewing.
Also, I'm sure it's doing damage to my body, but it really is like when you have your period, like it's great to just put your laptop on your stomach. It heats it up a little bit. Yes. You have a little snack. Like I just, it's
ideal.
It's cozy and it's like, you know how like you have little pods, like you could have like a sleep pod somewhere. Like it just feels like a little cozy. Yeah. It's like a little pod. Like this is my place. Mm-hmm. Nobody touch my popcorn.
Yeah, exactly. Let me just get small.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me just get real small with my big laptop.
I don't want a corporate job, but I would like to work somewhere that has sleep pods.
Yeah.
I guess just Google, right? That's the only place.
Yeah, but I was tech. Like, I don't know why, but I was looking up at JFK if they had places to like sleep, like take a nap. Like,
yeah.
And they do. Mm. And they do. I haven't done it, but I'm curious. And then in Japan has a lot of like hotels where it's literally just.
Yeah, those like pod hotels.
Yeah. I just want to do it to do it. Like, what if.
I know, same.
What if
yeah.
that's the best sleep of my life? Like, what
it
if.
Might be.
Probably.
Like, what if.
I remember.
It's like going back into the womb.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember like 15 years ago being down in San Diego with like two of my friends from home, and like we'd had a really fun day, and we had like 3 hours before the concert we were going to that night. We just didn't really know what to do, so we just like sat in my car in like a parking garage, just like fantasizing about the idea of like a hotel, like a pod that you could like rent
yeah,
for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And we were like,
yeah.
and you could partner it with Starbucks.
Yeah.
And they could have your order ready for you when the music quietly starts waking. Like, we were just fantasizing about how nice it would be to have that. Ahead of our time.
Aww, it's like a Charles Dickens novel. Your imagination, you stayed warm.
Please, sir. Just a little nap, please, sir.
I like that you guys didn't take the nap in the car, but you just spent the time to talk about somewhere to take a nap.
I think it was just, it would have been like weird to be like, all right, so everyone nap?
Everyone sleeping?
It was four of us. So it was like only
yeah,
two of
not,
us.
You can't really get comfortable.
You know, two, maybe three people can really get a nap in. That fourth person is a pillow. You can't, you know.
I had the opposite experience when I was in Portugal in my 20s. I was there with like one of my best friends, another friend, and my brother. And we had all gotten like some kind of parasite from the water in Morocco. Oh. So we were like diarrhea, vomiting, so ill. And but we were really young and poor and like in Europe, so we couldn't afford a hostel. So we had like gone back to Portugal, and we were like the four of us were in my brother's friend's car. My brother and I are both like around 6 feet tall. He's taller than me, like just literally like a human sandwich taking turns going outside to barf and shit. And then finally, we all just like went out to the sand on the beach and like laid there like beach whales and barfed and shit. Sorry.
Oh my God. Where were you barfing and shitting into?
Just on the streets of Portugal.
Yeah.
I just love what a suppressed memory that was. And as it came back, you started laughing harder. You're like, oh my God, I did that. I can't believe I did that. It was amazing.
So the opposite.
You should tell a guy in Pilates next time. Just yeah. be like, hey,
this could be
barfing and shitting on you right now. I've come a long way, sir.
Well, like my brother and I were like sibling fighting the whole time. Like, God damn it, Daniel, move your fucking arm. Like, we're just like,
oh my God. Yeah, yeah. I love it.
That's beautiful.
Adorable. You should text him that later. Just be like, hey, do you remember when we were barfing and shitting in Portugal?
And then you're like, how's your butthole, bro? Hope it's healthy.
Checking in.
Hope it's not showing up in any yoga classes.
Okay, Liz, here's a good one. Hang out with little kids or old folks?
Old folks.
Yeah, I guess you kind of answered that. You're like, I'm an old man.
Oh, yeah. I can complain like the best of them. And I'm pretty good with kids. My sister has three, 9, 6, and 3, I think, all named after dogs. One's named
what?
Scout. Yeah, one's named Scout because one's named Cooper and the other one's name is Hudson. So like the first two are the two biggest. Both my parents are veterinarians, so it kind of makes sense that she would name her kids after dogs.
the but, dogs you guys had growing up?
No, just those are literally the top dog two names. Dog names.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Okay.
If you look it up, so it makes me laugh every time. But yeah, I get along with, I have so much fun with them. Like I genuinely know how to, I can ant hard. Like I like games. Mm. I like pushing kids over. I did gymnastics, so I'm always helping them do like headstands. I work out, so it's a lot of just like picking up kids and throwing them. And my sister would be like, too hard. And I'm like, she wants me to throw her again. Like, I don't. So I'm just like, I can do that.
I love that shit.
But I do get tired really quickly because I'm almost 40. Mm. And I just like, after like 20 minutes, I burn out, and they don't get that concept at all.
They don't.
As opposed to like, I could drink a cup of coffee for hours and complain. Like, that's pretty much what my special is.
Yeah.
Do you have old people that you get to hang out with, or have you ever?
I don't. I actually didn't grow up with grandparents. Like, both my grandmothers died before I was born. One of my grandfathers died, and then my grandfather on my dad's side, they just weren't close. So, like, we'd see them, like, once in a while. So I have, like, a couple of great aunts and uncles that were, like, kind of surrogates, but, again, didn't see them very often. I think there's I really like history, and I think there's, like, this is going to be such a weird example. I was in, like, bumblefuck Pennsylvania, and I got there early because I was worried about traffic. And I ended up going to a diner for, like, 2 hours and just, like, eating eggs at a counter. And this old guy, I thought he was probably, like, in his 80s, was like, "How's your day going?" And I was like, "Good." And I went back to eating. He's like, "You from around here?" And I was like, "I'm not." And I went back to eating. And, like, just giving him, like, monosyllabic answers, just, like, barely, like, talking to him. And then he was just like, "Yeah, I used to work in the oil rigs or something." Like, he said something, and I turned to him and I was like, "When?" And, like, he just started telling me his history, and I got super into it. Found out he wasn't 80. He was 60, and he looked bad. Like, he looked rough, real beat up.
Rough neck life.
I was like, "Yo, dude, you are not much older than my dad, and you look rough." But, like, as soon as he started, like, talking about history, he had my full attention. Because I was like, I don't want to talk about me. I don't care about that. But, like, hearing about, like, him working on, like, some oil rig and, like, I don't know. It just was cool. So I think I like taking in people's history and finding out, like, how people got to where they were. Like, and I like the characters of people.
For sure. And it's like, I feel like, you know, we spend so much time, like, analyzing our own bullshit and, like, thinking and mining our own life and everything. I'm just like, I don't want to talk about me. Please give me something new, please.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something very, like, even though I've been on this earth long enough to know that it could very much not be innocuous, and, like, most old men probably are, like, Charles Bukowski-esque, but there is something very, like, cute and endearing about, like, an old man flirty wave. You know, like, when you just see an old man and like, you're just like, "I'll smile and wave at you, buddy."
If they're not, like, asking for anything in return, I love a compliment that is dropped and they walk away, you know, where it's just like, you're not trying to, like, you know, talk to me or whatever, but you are just like, "You look nice today. I just want you to know that." Boom. Out. Love it. Please. Big fan.
Yeah.
No, this is slightly off topic. It's been in New York. It's been a lot of gay guys that have complimented me. And, of course, that's the highest compliment.
Of course.
So, like, a gay guy complimented my hair, and I was, like, with my mom at the time, and she meant to talk to me. I was like, "Mom, I'm trying to take in this compliment." Like, I was like, "I've just been donned by royalty. Could you stop?"
Yeah.
Almost the same way that, like, you know, we put stuff on YouTube and social media, and comments and all that stuff are important algorithmically or whatever. I never said anything bad online, but I also never said anything good. And as my career has taken off because of social media, I love art. I love, like, anybody that makes stuff with their hands and stuff. So I've started to be like, "Oh, I'm going to leave. This is awesome. Oh, I love this kitty figurine," whatever. Mm-hmm. So the same way that, like, gay guys always would, like, make my day with a compliment, I was like, I need to do that back, but I only feel safer complimenting gay guys. And there was this gay guy that was walking down the street. He stopped twice to look, like, at his, like, I don't know if he was going to a date or something, but I could tell that he kept looking. And I was like, "Hey, you look great. Don't worry about it." Mm-hmm. And he just lit up, and I was like, "Yeah, this feels amazing."
Yes.
I was like, but, like, I was scared to do it. I was like, "I don't know if he's going to be, like, I don't know." But I was like, "Dude, you got it. Like, you look fresh. Like, you're good."
Aww. That's so sweet. And I also love that it works the other way, that, like, gay men like compliments from women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't dress a way where he probably, it was like a two on the compliment. He's like, "You don't know." But
that is the fear. That is the fear that he'd be like, "From you, I have to go home."
He's like, yeah, I'm not the one to, I'm not dressing in any way that would make people feel confident. But I did. There was a smile. I felt good. I felt like I did my good deed for the day.
I don't know. Even your look today, like, you look cool.
That's very, yeah. I'm wearing PJs, but right, I appreciate it.
You got a beanie on. You look
You got
cool.
a good beanie. You wear it well.
Thank you so
it's
much.
It's nice. I got good hair.
I'm in LA and I'm cold. I don't know what's wrong with my body.
There's nothing more LA than being in LA and being cold.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes. It's accurate.
It's
always colder than you think it's going to be.
I packed like
until it's very hot.
Yeah. I packed like such a moron. I did this last time I came to LA. I was like, skirts every day. And then I was like, nope. I don't like it has to be 90 degrees for that, and that is not what's happening.
Exactly.
I someday I will just accept that all I need to pack is like a pair of jeans and then like two shirts that I will just rotate and a hoodie.
I need like a pair of jeans and a sweatshirt, basically. Yes. That's pretty much it.
All I need. But I do like to just be like, no, but I'll really dress it up. And it's like, no,
there's like I pack when I'm on the road, like for work, I pack realistically, but like this is like a little half work, half vacation. And I when I'm in that mode, I become a person I always wanted to be. Like I just like I pack in this fantasy world where I'm just like, no, at least I'm not packing like high heels, which I wear once every 3 years. But it is lot of like, I'm like, I'm gonna wear skirts every day. And this shirt that only goes with this one skirt, I'm gonna bring it because that makes sense. Like,
yeah. California
bringing
Liz.
Stuff that you never wear at all anyways.
Yes.
Insane.
I think because you're like stepping out of your regular life, you're like, let's try out this costume.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. That is true. Yeah.
Like I changed schools. Elementary school to middle school. I went to a new school district and I've always been like, my parents are veterinarians. I've always loved cats. Literally, my mom's cat clinic was next to our house, and I didn't have a baby. Like, I'm just I've been a cat lady since I was, like, three. And so I had all cat shirts. I had cat earrings. Like, I was, like, just, like, a crazy cat lady. And so, but I was, like, I had one friend. She moved to Tennessee. I moved to a different part of Jersey. And I was, like, I'm going to, you know, I'm not cool. I'm going to be cool. And I, like, I remember, like, the first year, I think it was seventh grade that I moved. So for seventh grade, I threw out all my shirts. I like stopped wearing like all the stuff, but I still couldn't make friends. And it was the first time that I was like, oh, it must be me. And I went right back to being a cat lady. I was like, I'm not going to have no friends and not wear the cool shirts I like.
And,
I just rode into high school as a crazy cat lady. I was just like, too late. I'm never going to make friends. Like, I gave it a good college try in middle school.
Oh, man.
Do we have any photo evidence of this these cat lady years?
Oh my, sure. Absolutely. It was funny because I was looking for some picture on my phone, and of course all the pictures of me as a kid, I'm in front of, it's like birthday, it's like I'm in front of a birthday cake. I'm one of five kids, so the only time parents acknowledged us, it was our birthday, so I think that's the only time my picture was taken.
Yeah.
But it is. It's always me wearing like a Garfield shirt with a giant cake that is in the shape of a cat and like just cat earrings. Dude. And I'm still this person. Like, it's so ridiculous.
But I mean, why wouldn't you be? Yeah. You know, I do think that a lot of times, like, we are our purest selves, you know, when we're younger. Yeah. And then it's like some of you is, you know.
Aren't all kids dorks? Great.
Yeah. That's what you're supposed, that's what being a kid is.
I used to, in fifth grade, a regular outfit that I wore was t-shirt, Phantom of the Opera, sweatshirt, cats.
Yes. Yes. Nailed it.
I like
so
it.
Good.
Man, do any of you know anybody that has successfully changed their name to like a cooler name? Like, like when you take that, like any friends that tried to do that,
like a nickname or legally?
Or like,
I mean, I like how Babs goes by Babs now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I knew this guy named Matt in college or high school that when he went to college, he started going by Sid, which is his middle name. And when he came back, he'd be like, everyone in college calls me Sid. And we're like, okay, Matt.
Your friends aren't going to.
Not going to. I understand that you like, we're like, ooh, fresh slate. Let's like try. We get to like try on a whole new persona. But like, yeah.
At least it was his middle name and not just totally
just
something.
Made it up.
Yeah. You can't just start going by Sid without like a tie to Sid. Because Sid is like the villain in Toy Story.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, why'd you
think
go
Sid
villain?
Vicious.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Dark Matt.
Yeah, I like that.
Goth Matt.
Mm-hmm.
I was always jealous of people who had the option to go by their middle name because I have the place filler middle name, Marie.
Marie.
And then, mm-hmm. I don't know, I guess people do go by Marie, but it feels like it feels like a middle name to me.
It's a May. I mean, I think it's, I guess
people do
it just
go
doesn't
by
feel
Marie.
Like a substitute name. Yeah.
Well, when you know a ton of people that, because like my middle name is Nicole, and I think I knew like 30 other people that Nicole was like at, in 1984, Nicole was the East Coast placeholder. Marie, Nicole was the Marie of the East Coast.
Oh, interesting.
In the mid-80s, I think.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I think I knew a lot of Nicole's in middle mm-hmm. school and high school.
Oh, wait. We should ask this question. Okay, Liz, do you have a Courtney?
Oh, yeah.
Is there a Courtney when we say that name that you think of specifically?
Oh, yeah. As soon as you said it, I thought of a friend of mine in high school who like was like one of my good friends in high school. And I don't know if anybody else experienced this. Like, I keep in touch with people. Like, half my friends moved to either LA or London or whatever, and you can't get mm-hmm. rid of me. Like, I'm yours. Like, if you move to get not be my friend, you messed with the wrong person. I am the worst. I keep in touch with people. I love people my entire life. And I was friends with a Brianna and a Courtney that was really close friends. And like, I went to college and I wanted to keep in touch, and it just felt like I think about them often. Like, I'm just like, aww. They didn't want to keep in touch with me. And that's, aww. I do. I think of a Courtney. She was the perfect amount of bitchy. I mean,
that's like a Courtney. That's a Courtney.
That's a Courtney.
That's a Courtney.
You know what I mean? Like it was like, I could see it hurting people, but it never hurt me. But like, it was like,
right.
It really was like, oh, that's not right. I like it.
Well, it did hurt you eventually.
Yeah, no, she didn't want to keep in touch. It's a real bummer.
Damn. Yeah, that's a power trio. Liz, Courtney, woo! And Bree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take those ladies to the mall. Yeah.
Getting a second hole pierced. Everybody, do you think I can do it?
Oh, absolutely. No, Courtney don't give a fuck about her cartilage.
Lady problems time. We need them, actually. So if anybody out there has problems, you want advice, whatever you want, send it to us. Give us a phone call, 323-6-BUT-30, or email us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
All right. This one is written in. Okay. My husband has gotten into the habit of smoking cigars. The last time he was smoking them, he got addicted, so he tried nicotine gum, then he tried vaping to taper off, and then it finally took him getting a really bad cold to quit, and now he started again. He blames the stress of work, but, like, honestly, he started smoking them again before he even started his current project, so I don't really believe that. He used to be a huge stoner when he was young, and he also smoked cigarettes before he met the quit before we got together. I recently found a weed pen in the house. When I questioned him about it, he said he only partakes on the weekends. I just am not a fan of smoking in the least, and it's also super bad for you, and it stinks. He knows how I feel about it, but I feel like no matter what I say, he still just keeps smoking. I don't know if I should just chalk this up to nobody's perfect and let it go. I just really dislike this habit. Advice will be appreciated. Thank you.
Oh, can I chime in?
Please.
Yes, please.
I will. The one thing that I'll fight on that is that just because he started before his project doesn't mean he wasn't stressed. Mm. I think if he started something new, like I can tell you, I mean, my anxiety, I book a gig and I'm stressed until it happens. You know what I mean? Like, especially if it's something where I have to do something different or there's like, you know, you got to be clean or whatever. Like everybody's ability to handle stress is differently. And I've noticed over the course of like, I get overwhelmed and everybody knows. But I've dated many men that I won't know until they tell me. And I'm like, oh, you seemed 100% the same. So it's just like, I would fight that's something that calms him and that he could be stressed for either that reason or a number of other reasons, and that is his crutch.
I totally agree. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about, everyone's going to have bad habits is kind of my thing. Like, this is his. I don't know, it is kind of nobody's perfect. And like, it doesn't sound like it's a deal breaker to you. Like, you're in love with this guy. If it's not this, it's going to be something else. That's how I feel about habits. Like, if he tries to stamp this out, God knows he might, you know what people have been doing? Those pouches in their lip. You don't want that. You don't want that. Mm. You know, like, it's just gonna transpose into a different habit. There's clearly something about this that soothes him. We're all gonna die.
Also, I think once you start to hide stuff, it feels like you can't fully be yourself with somebody. Like, that's always like, you know what I mean? Like, now he's gonna maybe preemptively hide something else because he doesn't think so. It's just like, I think at some point it's like, hey, I love you. I care about you. I don't love this, but the last thing I would want you to do is hide it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we could together find a different habit to help soothe your stress, go for a walk. I mean, because that's I've read every habit book, and like the biggest takeaway is that you don't just get rid of a habit; you replace a habit.
You have to replace it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and sometimes like. Me and my boyfriend both gained weight, and we're fit, pretty fit people and very active people, but we both were like, hey, nothing fits. This doesn't feel comfortable. And we like came up with like a diet plan together and a like, let's move plan, whether it's just like go for a walk or whatever. But like, he loves like rock climbing and like surfing and stuff. And he'll be like, I'm too tired. I'm like, yeah, but I know you're going to feel so good if you go. So why don't I get up and go for a run? You go and surf. Let's go like move our bodies at the very least. And it became like, I mean, it's nice to have a partner to be on the same page as you. So it might even be like quitting alone isn't fun either. Like it could be something you guys, I know you don't smoke, but like it could be what becomes a replacement could be a thing together.
Well, and maybe she doesn't even need to frame it as a replacement for smoking. Like maybe it's just like, hey, I've noticed you're stressed. Like maybe we can start to like try to like meditate together every morning or like do shit like that. And then maybe that will sort of like organically at least reduce the amount that he's smoking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I don't think it's not going to help kind of like being on his ass about it. I don't think that that's the solution, you know? And obviously it does worry me that like he hid the weed pen and didn't tell you about it. That is where it gets to be like a place where he's obviously feels like you're not going to like it and he's hiding it, you know?
Yeah.
That's like, that's the place where you don't want to get to where, you don't want him to be not telling you stuff because once he feels like you're going to shame him or something.
Yeah. Shamey stuff involved. Cause then now that's a whole feeling. And now that starts to snowball pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know, like a weed pin, obviously I'm biased. I love weed, but like, I think with the cigars, those stink.
They stink and they're incredibly bad for you.
But I think that you have a very valid case to be like, and I think it's all about like your own comfort level and about, like maybe you don't want to watch him vape out of a weed pen, but that doesn't mean you mind him doing it. But I think you can say, hey, I'd rather you didn't do that around me. And especially with the cigar stuff, it's like, I'd rather you didn't do that when I'm out of town or do that out of the house or whatever, like brush your teeth and take a shower after you do it if you want to kiss me. So I think you can set those kind of boundaries because that does start to kind of like be about you and your experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like how often, I'd be curious how often he's like smoking cigars too. Cause that it's like, you shouldn't be smoking a cigar like what, daily or something, right? That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Is that?
I don't know. My douchebag cigar neighbor does it a lot.
I love cigars. Sean and I share a cigar every time we leave the country. That's like our thing. So we're the opposite of this couple. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to imagine getting addicted to them. Because I feel like smoking, I was a smoker for a little bit, and like that is so tied to your life. It's like you have your morning coffee cigarette, you have your commute cigarette.
Yeah.
Like, a cigar does feel like once a day is pretty absurd, but more than once a day is like unhinged.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone's doing that.
Yeah, that'll be wild.
But I do think it's more of like a, whenever they're doing it, it's like a moment. It's
comfort.
You know, it's that taking that moment out, but it's probably not, I would guess not daily, but maybe once or twice a week or something.
Yeah. And if it is,
but
that,
yeah,
like,
they smell so they much.
Yeah,
oh, they stink.
Well, and it's like if you want that moment to yourself to pee. Yeah, what is the thing that like that moment that will give you that feeling that isn't quite that like, you know, the smoking. Like, oh, you need a break. Like, okay, what is something that we can do here, or like he can do there, or something instead. You know, I mean,
yeah, I was. I'm again talking about this book I've been listening to, Comfort Crisis, and it was talking about just that similar thing about replacing, quote, bad habits with good ones, you know, and how it's always triggered by something, right? You're celebrating, or you're stressed, or you're whatever it is. Like, there's like something that's like signaling to your brain, like, and now's my time for this thing, mm-hmm. right? And so it was about like, yeah, replacing it with like the walk, or just like some kind of light physical movement most of the time was like the best thing to kind of just steer your brain away from that. But I do think suggesting it not as the replacement to smoking, but just doing it is a good idea. Cause again, you don't want that shame element, you know, kind of creeping in, mm-hmm. but if you can kind of just be encouraging that maybe, yeah, it'll help.
Yeah. Cause again, it's like, not to be that guy, but like, it is just weed. Like, it's not, you know, mm-hmm. it's not dangerous. Like
the weed, I would feel less about than the cigar.
Yeah, like the weed pen. Yeah. I'm kind of like, again, I'm probably very not the right person to weigh in on this, but I'm like, that's all weed. Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah.
No, I mean, my partner smokes a lot of it, and I'm like, I don't care because it doesn't affect it. I don't see it affecting anything. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no. Yeah, I think you just gotta let him or, yeah. be himself.
And also, like, feel free to add a new bad habit to your regimen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this gives you the space for
I think it. I'm just going to sing at the top of my lungs every morning as I walk through the house. I think that's how I decompress after a difficult day.
It's a treat.
Have you felt like learning violin?
Yeah, drums.
You know, yeah. Recorders aren't just for children. You could get your own recorder. And
it's like so weird that every time he smokes a cigar, you decide to rehearse.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well,
yeah, I get
just a thought too, because it's like you really do want to make sure this communication stays open, because in the event that he actually does want to quit, like, you know, you want him to be able to like talk to you as like a supportive person versus like a,
yes.
you know, like, oh,
told
finally,
you, so.
You know, like, yeah. I told you so. Like, you know, because he could get to that point, because if he quit cigarettes before and like nicotine seems like it kind of ramps up slowly again, you know, because you're trying to get to that place again, you know. So, yeah, he just.
Isn't
you know,
there nicotine in
cigarettes? I would have the same question, Babs, but I didn't want to ask.
Oh, it's tobacco, right?
It's just tobacco, but I don't think it's nicotine.
Yeah, that's why it's like odd to get addicted to them, because you also don't inhale it. You just kind of let the smoke swish around your mouth, which is really gross. But.
Yeah, I don't know. But I didn't think there was. Oh, wait. Yeah, it says yes.
Yeah.
Cigars contain nicotine.
They lead to tobacco. Yeah, there's nicotine in it.
Oh, so. A single cigar can contain as much nicotine as a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Damn.
Yeah, that's
I think
intense.
I've wondered on this show previously, too, and I never really got an answer. But, like, are we sure that nicotine is bad for you?
I don't think it's nicotine that's bad for you. I think it's the
smoke.
Tobacco.
Yeah, and all the chemicals, because it's a bunch of weird chemicals.
Yeah.
The stuff that's in the thing.
And, you know, the fire, it going, there's fire in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like,
you know, the fire
lungs. Going into your lungs. Yeah. It's not great.
Because we're not dragons.
Well, I think it's also... in that, like, there's like that I forget the name of the quitting book, but there's like that how to quit smoking book that's actually has like been really helpful for a lot of people. A point that I know they make is that like what you think nicotine is doing is like actually like bumping you up, but what it ultimately does is lower your base level, so you're trying to get back to what your actual base level used to be after a certain point. So it is like it actually is a depressant ultimately. That you lose the ability to actually like get up, you know, to bump up instead. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Fucking straight edge, so I don't fucking know anything.
I mean, I remember we did talk about the nicotine patch
That's what it was. We were talking about the running guy. There was a guy, Liz, who he didn't like running. So every time he went on a run, he wore a nicotine patch, and he got addicted to running that way.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that brilliant?
So just go that route with your with the cigar thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
love it.
Exactly. Let's go for a walk instead. You know, throw on your patch.
I just got to say, humans were an inventive species, and we've really figured out some hacks.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh!
Well, good luck. Yeah.
I feel you though. I feel you. Yeah, they all, you know,
that's
tough. They're all gonna do things. At least, they're all gonna do at least one thing you hate.
Yeah, it should be in the vows, actually. And you get one thing that I hate. It's all good.
Well, Liz, thanks for hanging out with us.
Oh, dude, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. This was really fun. And
of course.
Yeah.
Tell everybody where they can find your new special and find you online, where they can see you.
Oh, yeah. So everything is at Liz Miele, M-I-E-L-E. So on YouTube is my new special, Murder Sheets, but there's three other specials on there. And I have a book called Why Cats Are Assholes that is about cats being themselves. everything's at Liz Miele. So if you check it out, it would mean a lot. And I'm sorry everybody had to hear about how I can't eat pizza or pasta. I know that was really,
I know that was tough. You know, honestly, we're going to cut that out. Okay. So it doesn't matter.
We're gonna not when we were talking about buttholes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
No.
Well, we kind of were. So, thanks everybody for listening. Go watch Liz's special. She's so funny, and we're just happy to have her on the show. And thanks, y'all.
Bye. Talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
I wanted to leave some input, advice, whatever, to the girl that is going to medical school and bringing her partner with her that is not going to be in medical school, and just throw out there this thing from the other side. So it wasn't medical school, it was law school, but my feedback from people is that basically all these graduate programs, you know, secondary school things are all kind of the same. You are in such a better position having a partner who is going to be like living with you that does not go to the school you do than if you did not, because at first it's all bright, shiny, new, so exciting. Oh my gosh, we're all going to be best friends forever. But at some point there's going to be a time where you don't want to go to the social thing or you don't want to go to the whatever thing, and you always have that partner and whatever else they're doing as an excuse. And also, it saves you from a lot of the drama, because there's a lot of drama about like relationships and like friendships and stuff like that. And you always have that as an excuse, which sounds like crazy when you're not in it. But looking back at it, the people who were married in law school or had long-term partners and just were kind of a little bit removed from a lot of the social stuff were so much better off than the people who were dating people in their class or that kind of a thing. Because you have a built-in excuse, and what you want to do is bring them to all the stuff that partners are allowed to go to, like all the events, like different social things, so that people seem to know him with you. And then they're going to be like, okay, well, that person is like dating somebody, so we're not going to involve them in all of our drama. It sounds weird, but it just really ends up helping you out. So don't discount them. Bring them to stuff. And then definitely encourage them to find their own friend group, because then you can start going to their stuff. Because trust me, at some point you're going to be real over these people and you're going to be thrilled that you have that partner. So make them be social, get a group of friends for you to hang out with, because these med school people are not going to be so shiny, bright, and new eventually. So I'm really excited for you that you have that opportunity to bring that person with you and escape from your classmates.
Hi, ladies. This is one of your big fans calling from Maine, but I am a teacher over in New Hampshire. I live very close to the border, so I commute over into New Hampshire every day to be a fifth grade teacher, and I just have to say I really appreciated, I must have missed your January 24th episode, where it's just you three ladies, and you at the beginning are ranting about the Stanley trend and how ridiculous it is. And I just have to say, I really appreciate that, because I feel like it validated everything I've been feeling about the trend, because even up here in the mountain towns of northern New Hampshire, I am experiencing the Stanley trend with my fifth graders. And even teachers, actually. So a lot of the teachers have them, and all my fifth grade students, a lot of them want them. I do have to say, at least my experiences, it is a gender thing. Like, only my girl students want them, but everyone was asking for them at Christmas. And at that point, I was like, wait, what's a Stanley? And they couldn't believe I didn't know what it was. And then they told me, and I was like, oh, okay, like, you want a water bottle for Christmas? That's sweet. Like, you want to stay hydrated. But then I saw how much money they were and that it was this TikTok trend. And I was like, wow. And then they came back from Christmas with all their Stanleys. And I felt so bad for one of our students who did not get the, like, standard traditional sized Stanley. And it is a Stanley, but doesn't look like a Stanley. And the kids were giving her crap for that. And so that was a whole thing that, you know, thankfully was short-lived with this group. But so we had to deal with that. And I just thought it was so ridiculous over a water bottle. So, yes, it is a thing. And it's just amazing. Yeah, even in, like, small mountain towns in the Northeast, this is a thing. I refuse to get them. Unless maybe one day when they're not as popular and not as expensive, maybe I'll get one. But I just, my husband works at REI. That's why we moved here. So he manages the one in town, and he says people come in all the time just to buy a Stanley. Like, they're not there to buy outdoor gear for anything else, just to buy a Stanley. And it's just, I just have to laugh a little bit, because I just find it such a ridiculous trend. But I guess all trends are a little ridiculous, right? Like you said. So anyway, love you. Thank you for that. Bye.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy, and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker.